Well, hello, folks. It's good to be back with you. So glad that you're tuning in today. And this is a message that would have been preached on Sunday, but we had a snow day, so we didn't have an in-person service. So I want to get it out there so that you can be blessed by God's word. So how are you feeling today? I know it's been maybe a tough couple weeks for most folks with the snow and ice, but according to a recent survey, you might honestly answer, I'm not feeling too well. Gallup's annual Global Emotions Report has found that Americans are more stressed, worried, and angry than they have been in a decade. Americans are more worried and stressed than most people around the world. 55% of Americans said they felt stressed compared to a global average of just 35%. 20% of Americans say they feel a lot of anger. Greece, the Philippines, and Tanzania were the only two countries with stress rates less than America. Now, sociologists and psychologists across the landscape admit that America's mental health is not healthy. An article entitled America's Insomnia Problem is Even Worse Than Before the Great Depression has said that Americans are more stressed and worried than ever before, and for many of them, their bank accounts are to blame. 65% of Americans are losing sleep over money issues. Americans are worried about health care, saving for retirement, student loans, mortgage payments, credit cards, you name it, the list goes on. Now, we know medically that the mind and body are linked, and how you feel emotionally can determine how you feel physically. Certain emotions release hormones into the body that can trigger the development of diseases, and researchers have directly and scientifically linked emotions to hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and diseases related to the immune system. Research has linked emotions such as depression to an increase in developing cancer and heart disease. Other emotions like anxiety and fear have shown a direct correlation to heart problems, irritable syndrome, bowel syndrome, and tension headaches. So this is a serious issue. We say, how do we feel? How do we really feel? Now, when Jesus showed up on the scene in this world 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells us he healed the sick. He cast out demons, and he talked about God in a way that people had never heard before. He announced that he was establishing a new relationship between God and men. He called it the New Covenant. He said he was going to start something new, and he launched the church. At the Last Supper, he gave the disciples a new command, which was to love one another, he said, as I have loved you. And then he died. For 3 days, it seemed like everything died with him. The disciples were hid up in a room. Other followers just didn't know what to make of everything. But then he rose from the dead and everything changed. In the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, the single longest section of that message in the Gospel of Matthew deals with worry. Worry. I want to read that section to you today. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning with verse 25, and I want to read through verse 34 and pray. Then I want to talk about this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'm just going to use the heading of this section of scripture in my NIV study Bible for the title of this message, and it's just simply, do not worry. And this is my third message in the series that I've been preaching in the new year called First Things First. So let's pray. Father, This is your eternal word. It's mighty. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides our soul and spirit. It speaks to the life that we need. And God, I know that worry is an issue for many people. We might not call it worry, but a lot of concerns and a lot of thought that's given to things that aren't going well or that could go wrong and all the way that we view this. Father, speak your life into each one of us today so that we can grow, so that we can be mature, so that we will not be afraid, that we will not worry and stress about things in this life that you tell us not to worry about. We commit ourselves to this word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me just say off the bat, there's a difference between worry and concern. We should be concerned about a lot of things, like the spiritual condition of our nation, about our children getting a good education, about a health issue that we may be facing, about money issues that we have, about retirement, about many things. But there's a difference. A worried person sees a problem, but a concerned person solves a problem. The root word for worry comes from the English root word, which means to choke or to strangle. And worry, like nothing else, strangles the life out of us, the happiness, the joy out of us, because our mind is going in this direction. The Greek word for worry literally means a divided mind, and that's what happens. You know, if we don't have a job, we worry about it. If we do have a job, we worry that we might lose it or get downsized. If we don't have a car, we worry. If we have a car, we worry it might break down. If we don't have any money, we worry. If we do have money, we worry. There was a man who was worrying about his health, and he went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, you've got nothing to worry about. You're going to live until you're 60. He said, I am 60. And he said, see, I told you so. Then he had to catch a plane, and he hates to fly, so before he gets on the plane, he buys some flight insurance, and while he waits for his flight, he gets some Chinese food. When he opens a fortune cookie, it says, a recent investment will pay great dividends. See, Jesus in this passage goes right to the heart of what worry is all about when he says, therefore, I will tell you not to worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. In other words, worry is about later, okay? Worry is about the future, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. And note that Jesus chooses food and clothing and drink because the living conditions in Jesus' day, they struggle with all of these basic things constantly. Most of them were incredibly poor. They lived on less than a dollar a day in their monetary system. And now, 2,000 years later, our living conditions have gotten a whole lot better. We're better educated. We're healthier. We're safer. We're better resourced. But most of us are not worried about what we're going to eat. We're not worried about what we're going to drink. We probably have plenty of that. In fact, people stocked up with that quite a bit before the snowstorm came. We're not worried about what we're going to wear. In fact, most of us have so many options about what we're going to wear. Every now and again, we've got to clean out our closet. We might even have to clean out the refrigerator or the pantry and throw some old things away. So we're doing pretty well in that category. But Jesus does mention something in verse 25 that people worried about 2,000 years ago and still worry about, and that is our body. Everybody's born with this self-consciousness of how they look and how they appear to others. Paul Harvey once told of a man, an old man, who he knew who put braces on his false teeth so he would look younger. Now, that's going a little bit too far, I think. People in the first century would look at us and say, you must not worry about anything. And we say, oh, no, we worry about a lot of things. We still worry about life. We worry about mortgage payments and having a job and health insurance and paying for our kids' college. In other words, we worry about finances, and poor people worry that they don't have any money. Rich people worry they don't have enough. And the reality is that Jesus pointed out that what people worried about 2,000 years ago can still be a problem and a worry that people have today. But Jesus tells us five things about worry that I just want to go through quickly because this is a good foundation. Number one, worry is unreasonable. Verse 25 says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? He's saying worrying doesn't make sense because most of the things that we tend to worry about, worry is illogical, it's irrational, it's unreasonable because it inflates a problem without doing anything about it. Secondly, worry is unnatural. It's unnatural. Think about this. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then he says in the next down in verse 28, he says, and why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon, all his glory, was not clothed as beautiful as they. See, Jesus does something that no counselor would ever do. He said one of the ways to quit worrying is become a bird watcher. Look, take a look outside for a moment. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. Jesus saying, animals don't worry, plants don't worry. The only thing in all of creation that worries is you and I who are made in God's image. Psalm 145, 16 says, God satisfies the desire of every living thing. The point Jesus is making here is not only is worry unreal, it's unnatural. We were not born to worry. Worry is a learned response. And so friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christian people, as Christ, we need to unlearn being worried about anything. The Mayo Clinic claims that 80 to 85% of their caseload is due directly to worry and anxiety. One leading physician stated that, in his opinion, 70% of all patients could cure themselves if they only got rid of their worries and fears. I believe that. The third thing Jesus says is worry is unproductive. In verse 27, he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? He says worry can't make you taller, can't make you shorter, it can't make you skinnier, can't make you fatter, it can't make you live one day long. In fact, if anything worry does is it shortens your life, doesn't add to your life. Worry doesn't work. It's doing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of motion, but you're going nowhere. It's unproductive. Fourthly, worry is unnecessary. Notice verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, oh, you of little faith? He said, there's no need to worry because God has promised to take care of you if you'll just listen. Worry indicates that you have a misunderstanding of who God really is, what he is like, and what he wants to do in and through your life. And because we don't really have a good grip on those kind of things, yeah, we do worry. We do have concerns. If God saved you, he solved your biggest problem. Any other problem is minor in comparison. So Jesus says worry is unreasonable, it's unnatural, it's unproductive, it's unnecessary. And lastly, worry is unchristlike. When you worry, you're acting as if God doesn't even exist and that he won't do what he promised he will do. Non-believers have a lot to worry about. They really do. But Christians, we're different. We don't have to worry because our Heavenly Father says he will supply our needs. Craig Groeschel got an idea for a book by talking about a time he was on a flight that had two legs to the flight. On the first leg, he's sitting next to a guy named Travis, who asked him what he did, and Craig said, well, he's a pastor. And Travis immediately responds, I don't believe in God. I think Christians are hypocrites. I think they use religion as a crutch to avoid the real world. No disrespect meant, but I think Christians are the weakest people in the world. On the next leg, Craig sat next to a young woman named Michelle, and she was quite anxious about a lot of things in her life. She's nervous about flying. She's having problems with her boyfriend. She was upset about finances. She asked Craig what he did for a living. He said, I'm a pastor. And she lit up and talked about how she had met Jesus a long time ago. Then she started to confess that she knew as a Christian, she was involved with her boyfriend in a way that would not honor God. And she said she had intended to get involved in a community church and grow spiritually, but she just seemed too busy. That never happened. And when she was leaving, she said, you know, I know my life doesn't look like what a Christian life is supposed to look like, but I do believe in God. And what struck out in these two people was a realization there's more than one kind of atheist. There's the philosophical atheist that denies the existence of God just outright. But then Craig said, there is what might be called a Christian atheist who says, I believe in God, but I worry all the time. They live as if God doesn't exist. Friends, we're not called to do that. That's why it's unchristian to be like that. Do you trust that God can and will take care of you? Because this is the issue of worry. If God has done what he's done for nature, and if you are more valuable than birds or flowers, like the Bible says, and if we're made in the image of God, should we not trust God that he's going to take care of us? In fact, he promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. So worrying comes down to an issue of trust. Improving our circumstances, more wealth, better health won't eliminate worry. The only way is to learn to trust God. Now, verse 32 says this. For the pagans, this is not a derogatory term. Jesus just meant everybody else. So he's saying, quit acting like everybody else. In other words, people who have no concept that God is a heavenly father, they run after all of these things, but your heavenly father knows you need them. I've been struck by this year by this phrase, your heavenly father knows. When I was talking about prayer on our Sunday evening services, you know, Jesus knows what we have need of before we ask him in prayer. And right here, he's saying it all over again. These things that we run after, the pagans run after, these things that we also need, our Heavenly Father knows we need them. What would it be like if when you go to bed tonight and you're concerned with a lot of things about what you're going to face on the next day, you hear the Holy Spirit whisper in your ear, I know. I know. Just lay down and have a peaceful sleep because I know what you need. I know what you're going through. Wouldn't that be 90% of the battle? I think it would be. Jesus concludes this message in verse 34 by saying, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's in the ESV version. So Jesus relabels all of our worries by just calling it tomorrow. If you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Christ, I can tell you something about your future. In fact, I can guarantee it because Romans 8:28 says it. Everything will work out for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's going to be okay. Three times in these passages that I just read on worry, verse 25, 31, and 34, Jesus repeats a phrase, therefore do not be anxious. Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Do you know that a dense fog that covers a 7-city block, 100 feet deep, is composed of less than one glass of water divided into 60,000 million drops? Not much is there, but it can cripple an entire city with several blocks. Jesus evaluates the reason that we worry. He then eliminates the cause of worry, and then he elevates us above worry when he tells us in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's where I got the title for this series, First Things First, because he says here, first, seek first the kingdom. Seek his righteousness. The operative word here, the most important, is first. The antidote to worry is putting first things first. It's having a proper focus. Let me tell you what I mean by focus. I'm not talking about focus with your eyes. I'm talking about you and I focusing with our heart toward God. See, focus with our eyes involves seeing. Focus with our heart involves surrendering. Surrender our worry and focus on God's will. Surrender all that we're concerned about and put it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says there are two things you ought to stay focused on in your life. I mean, laser focus, first things first, his kingdom and his righteousness. To put it another way, I'm to focus and you're to focus on God's rule over my life and God's righteousness in my life. Now, when your priorities are out of order, it's because you're preoccupied the wrong things and focused on the wrong things. And the result is you worry because you're focused on the wrong things. Proper priorities promote peace. Misplaced priorities multiply worry. When you focus on his will, he'll take care of our worries. I know I'm rephrasing some of this, but it's true. So let me sum up this by saying that Jesus tells us how to conquer our worries by making sure we take care of just 3 days in our life, okay? Number one, put yesterday's worry in its proper place, okay? Three times in Matthew 6, Jesus repeats three words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. This is the NIV, verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry. As of right now, whatever you're worried about in the past, you survive because you're here today, right? You may be bruised, beaten, battered, but you're still here. You're still breathing. You're still talking. You're still living. And there is only one reason for that, because God got you here. If God has gotten you through yesterday, don't you think he's going to get you through today? He will. When you read the Old Testament, it's amazing how God used the past to teach the nation of Israel why they should not worry about their present situation. A prophet by the name of Isaiah was preaching to Israel in dark days, and they were facing an enemy that would eventually defeat them and take them into captivity, those that they didn't slaughter. But their present, both their present and their future looked dim. But listen to these words in Isaiah 46, verse 3. "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born." So God said, from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, I was taking care of you. When you came out of your mother's womb, I was taking care of you. When you didn't even know I existed, and you know, before you understood that, I took care of you. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, Isaiah 46, 4, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I'm he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Friends, that's great news. If you're worried about something right now, if you feel like an Egyptian army is behind you and the Red Sea is in front of you and you're worried, the first thing I would say is put yesterday's worry in its proper place. God has been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. The Bible says he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The second day you need to take care of is put today's worries in its proper position. Jesus knew that just by saying, "Don't worry." He knew that just saying that wouldn't stop people from worrying, so he gives two amazing illustrations to prove that we depend on God. He's basically, Jesus saying, "Hey, look outside. The birds, they don't sow or reap. They don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And so ornithologists, people who study birds, have identified at least 18,000 species of birds. So if bird... into bird watching, if you were to see one new bird every day, it would take you 50 years to see all the species that God created. So if every day God can take care of 18,000 species of birds and all the multitude of them that there are, come on, friend, don't you think he can take care of you? If you aren't into birds, maybe you're into flowers. And Jesus says this, "Why worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, not a splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Speaking of flowers, there are not only 90 different species of lilies, no, two of them are exactly alike. All total, I read that there are 369,000 different species of flowers all over the world. And so if God makes sure the flowers have not only clothes to wear, but the right color that they should wear, come on, friend, don't you think he'll take care of you? And he says he will. Remember, the key is this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you seek the kingdom of money, you're going to worry about every dollar and every dime. If you seek first the kingdom of health, you're going to worry about every skin spot and every headache that you have. Seek first the kingdom of popularity, you're going to sweat over every critical word that somebody says about you or everything that shows up on social media. If you seek first the kingdom of safety, you're going to be worried about a noise at night. You're going to be so worried about so many things, you might not get out of bed at all anymore. The third day that you need to understand is put tomorrow's worry in its proper perspective. Okay? Jesus covers it perfectly with his final statement. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There are two days you should never worry about: yesterday and tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never get here. Yesterday is a memory. Tomorrow is just in our dreams or thoughts. God gives you the strength just for today because you have enough trouble of its own just for today," Jesus says. So worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It just chokes out the joy that you can have today of just, "This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it." You can't change the past, but you can ruin a perfectly good present by worrying about the future. Mark Twain once said, "I have been through some terrible things in my life which have never happened." He's talking about all those times where he was worried and concerned and upset about things, and it never happened. The worries that we manufacture never leave the warehouse. A lady was checking her email one time, and she noticed an urgent note from a friend. When she opened the email, there were two sentences: "Start worrying now. I'll send details later." You know, worry never solved a problem. Worry never lifted a burden. Worry never dried a tear. Do you understand the mathematics of worry? Worry divides the mind. It multiplies misery. It subtracts happiness, and it adds distress. We should not do it, Jesus says. So if you're ever going to get a handle on worry with the hands of faith, not the hands of fear, you got to leave tomorrow alone. This came from an anonymous person who said, better not trouble trouble until trouble troubles you, for you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. Jesus said in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then he goes right to the heart of what causes us to worry. You believe in God, believe in me. The issue of worry is faith. He goes on to say in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So when you worry, you delay God's peace in your life. And there's two facts about this peace. The source of this peace is God. It's called the peace of God. The description of that peace, it surpasses all understanding. And so the process that will move you from worry to peace is this. Put Jesus first in every area of your life. Worry is always a warning light, an indication that you've got mixed up priorities and values. And whenever I start worrying, it means something is out of balance in my life, that something else has taken first place. Any area where God is not number one in life, let me tell you, you will worry about it, whatever that is. Secondly, live one day at a time. Verse 34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Live today. In Matthew 6:66, Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our monthly bread. No, give us today our daily bread. And the third thing I'd say is trust God to care for things beyond your control. Years later, the Apostle Paul would write to the church in Philippi, and he would say, do not be anxious about anything, or do not worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The bottom line of this whole sermon is simple. Worry is a slap in God's face. It's an insult to God when you think about it. There is a blood-stained cross and an empty tomb that tells us that there is no problem God cannot solve. There is no question God cannot answer. There's no situation that God cannot handle. All the water in the world, however hard it tried, could never sink a ship unless it got inside. All the hardships of this world might wear you pretty thin, but they won't hurt you least bit unless you let them in. Dietrich Bonhoeffer sacrificed everything to stand with Christ against the Nazis during World War II. Eventually, he was persecuted, imprisoned, and killed. When he began his ministry, Psalm 121 was the text of his first sermon and kind of the guiding theme of his life. Let me read that to you as I close. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Father, I just thank you for your awesome word today. God, because I know that this world, and even Christians sometimes, we're full of worry, we're full of concern, anxiety. We can call it any word that we want to. But Father, we don't need it to be this way. Jesus, in the great Sermon on the Mount, showed us why we should not worry. In fact, in a later time, Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So, Father, I pray for the dear folks right now that have heard this message, and they might have tuned in and they might have been full of worry, Lord. They might be worried about the weather. They might be worried about, you know, having the finances because they haven't been able to work as much. There's a whole host of things, God, that can cause us, Lord, to look at what we're dealing with instead of looking to you, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. So, Father, I pray for each one right now, God, that you'll help them to be strong in the faith. Lord, that they'll move from worry, Lord, to trust in you. And, God, as they do that, I know that they're going to receive this peace that passes understanding. They might not know how things are going to work out or what the answer to the problem is. But, Father, we can still have a peace knowing that, hey, you're going to handle it because you're capable, because nothing is impossible with you. I thank you for your word to our hearts today, Lord. Let us not just be hearers only, but be doers and apply this in every situation. For it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless.